I'd ask you to open your Bible at John's Gospel, chapter 14. And it's always a joy to speak in my home church. Someone said to me last Sunday, I was up in Garva, I told him I was preaching in Newton Ards. Well, he says, that must be very difficult for you. And a sister asked me this morning in the prayer meeting how I felt. Well, my nervous system is shot to pieces, but apart from that, I'm okay. But it is a joy to speak in Newton Arts. And on Friday night, we were at the dinner for the Reverend Trevor Baxter and his wife Mary. They retire. They're having their final services as the pastor and minister of the Word in Ballinhinch Free Presbyterian Church this morning. And we had a great time. Much laughter, of course. The Reverend Baxter is known for his jovial spirit. And yet a great preacher of the Word. And it was a joy for me to be there because the Reverend Baxter led me to the Lord way back in 1977. And he showed me from the Bible how I could be saved and know it. And I was saved and I do know it. And I thank God for him and pray the Lord will bless him and Mary as they retire. No doubt he will continue to preach and hopefully we'll have him here again in Newton Ards sometime. Do remember John Huddleston, especially in prayer. How quickly all this has happened, and I think about it myself, how quickly we can be, circumstances can just change. How quickly. Make sure you're ready. And I suppose even as believers, make sure you're ready. Walking with the Lord. And whatever you have to do, have it done. And keeping short accounts with the Lord. But let's pray now for Brother John Huddleston and his family. And then pray for the hearing of the word. Father, we thank thee for this, the Lord's day. We're in the Lord's house, this meeting house, built for the purpose. We have the Lord's word. We're assured of the Lord's presence and the Lord's spirit. And we ask thee now to help us, Lord, with the Lord's help from heaven. Father, we need thee totally, absolutely. I cast myself afresh upon thy mercy and grace and love and thy help and comfort in the upholding of thy hand. Lord, bless our brother John Huddleston. Draw graciously near to him at this time in his life. Fill his heart and soul and mind with thy comfort and grace and assurance. Bless his wife, his family, the wider family. O God, even there in that hospital ward, around that hospital bed, even there, Lord, make thy presence known, be glorified. May Christ be known in a real and wonderful way. Help us now, Lord, with thy Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. I want to read a few verses just from John chapter 14 and then we'll go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. But the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 14, of course, it's the great chapter, let not your heart be troubled. And there are many things that trouble our hearts, but isn't it good to know the Lord has a word for us? And even John 14 is a great chapter to read when your heart is troubled about anything. But if you come down that chapter to verse 21, Here the Lord Jesus says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Judas saith unto him, and how careful the Holy Spirit is here to include the little words, "not Iscariot." Not Iscariot, this is the other Jude. Not Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot wouldn't have asked a question like this, because he wasn't genuine, he wasn't sincere, he wasn't saved. But Jude saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" It's a good question. How do we have manifestations of the Lord? You have to be careful with that term, because I have heard and read of people, the Lord Jesus appeared to them in the prison cell. I've heard people who died and went to heaven, came back and told all about it. I've heard about many various manifestations of this, that and the other. So it's a good question. "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Now look at the answer, verse 23. "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words." Notice that, how Christ throws us back upon the words. We call that today the Scriptures, the inspired, the infallible, the inerrant, the eternal words of the Lord. "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." That's a tremendous two or three verses that we should all mark. Do you want more of the Lord's presence? Of course you do, and so do I. Do you want more of the manifestations of the assurance of God and the blessing of God? God near you, God with you, God in you. Of course we do. But I want you to notice something. You should never leave the Word of God and go looking for some manifestation of God. The promise of God is this: He will come to us. He will bless us in this special way. He will manifest Himself to us as we live and abide in the Word of God, searching it, studying it, believing it, trusting it, defending it, holding fast to it no matter what. The word of the Lord. We are, by God's grace, a Bible-believing church. I was thinking about that on Friday night, the Reverend Baxter. I remember when I came here, I wasn't saved, of course. I came up the Bangor Road that Saturday to the opening of the building that was down at the bottom of the wee gradient there. And I started to come to the church. People were praying for me. God was speaking to me. I wrote a letter to Ernie Allen asking for help from him. And then at a gospel mission in the John Knox Memorial Church up there, Clifton Park Avenue, Belfast, I came out in a gospel appeal, and Brother Reverend Trevor Baxter, who was then the student minister in Newton Arch, he pointed me to Christ. And how did he do that? We sat in the back of the church building, just him and I. He opened the book, he read various scriptures, he had me read those scriptures, he led me to that place where I received Christ as my own and personal Saviour. And I thank God for him, not only that he led me to Christ, but in those early years, I really learned the Bible. I often tell people, I still have that Bible, though I can't use it because it's like the Dead Sea Scrolls, it's falling apart. But those white pages on the back of my first Bible and in the front are cram-packed with various notes, various scriptures that I was learning God's Word. You know, what the Lord Jesus Christ, let's get to this today. What the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here in these verses in John's Gospel is this. There is no spirituality without the Scriptures. I remember hearing a woman, it could have been a man, it happened to be a woman in this instance, and she talked about when she was down at the bottom of her garden surrounded by the dahlias and the daisies and all the flowers, how spiritual she felt there. How close to God she felt there. If daisies brought you near God, I would be very near God because my lawn's full of them. It's the words, it's the sayings of the Lord. I was listening to a CD recently, someone gave it to me. I don't know this man, never met him, I don't think, in my life. He's a preacher. And in that particular meeting, he said a strange thing. He said, I hope you've left your doctrine outside the door. No man of God would say that. Brother and sister, you don't leave your doctrine anywhere. You adorn your doctrine. You wear the teachings of the Scripture. Just as we put on our clothing today, you put on Christ. You adorn yourself with the doctrine of Christ. And so I'm just emphasizing, it's the words of the Lord Jesus. It's the words of the Lord Jesus. He throws us back this manifestations of God's love, this manifestation of the Lord Himself to His people. It is the Word, it is the sayings, it's meditating upon the Bible. Getting to learn the doctrine. Don't be afraid of the word doctrine. It simply means the teachings of the Bible. And I'm not here to puff up the Reverend Johnson. He's not here, so I can say this. But he is a faithful preacher of the Word. He is a faithful preacher of the Word. A man who constantly takes us to the words and the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the words that save you, that bring you to Christ. It's the words that bless you and the words that counsel you and it's the words that keep you and it's the words that bring you closer to the Lord and bring the Lord closer to you. The Bible. We are a Bible-believing church. And again I said, there's no spirituality outside this. People can claim what they like. But I have the word of the Lord Jesus upon this matter. Now, turn over to that portion in 2 Corinthians. You see, here's the rub this morning. Here's the thing this morning. If we're going to abide in the Word and the Word abide in us, and this is how the Lord Jesus said He comes to His people, and this is how He said the Father comes to His people, and we have that fellowship. Do you remember that other scripture in Revelation? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open unto me, I will come in unto him, and we will sup together. Picture a scene where someone comes to your home and the table's set, and we meet around the table talking and eating and drinking and talking and fellowshipping. And that's what the Lord says. That's what He does as we abide in His Word, in the sayings of the Scripture. But when you come here, you know, if we're going to do this, and remember the Lord says, and keepeth my words, keepeth them. As we go through our Bible in that fashion, we will learn where we're wrong. We will learn where perhaps we're still committing sin. We will learn where we need to put something right. And so it goes on in the Christian life. And I was saved in 1977. This is 2013. But still learning. Still having to put things right. Still having to repent. Here's my subject this morning quickly. How the Christian ought to receive the Word of God. And just when you think about Paul's letter to Corinth, remember this. Number one, the church was in a bad way. The church was in a bad way. There were party divisions and factions. There was strife over spiritual leaders. Paul was being discredited. There was gross immorality. There was spiritual pride leading to public dispute before unbelievers. There was problems with marriage and relationships. There was pride leading to the despising of others in the local church. There was disorder between men and women. There was disorder at the Lord's table. And there was disorder with regard to the exercise of spiritual gifts. So it was a church in need, and Christians in need of the words of the Lord. And Paul wrote to them. We call it the first letter of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians, which it was and is the inspired words of God. Of course, they're in the canon of Scripture. And Paul spoke to this church. He spoke to it as a church of Jesus Christ. He realized they were wrong. He realized there was disorder. He realized there was difficulties. But he came as a faithful pastor and preacher, ministering God's word to them, with the hope and with the intent that they would be restored. Now remember this, that in those days as the local church, think of it, the local church meeting there in the city of Corinth, a letter arrives, an epistle arrives from Paul. I don't know if a postman brought it. I don't know if he was privatized or not, but anyway, they got the letter and it was read. It was read out publicly to the people of God who assembled in that city on the Lord's Day and at other times. They were hearing the Lord's words. Now remember, Jesus said, if we want manifestations of the Lord and the Lord to come to us and to bless us and restore us and quicken us, it's the words, it's the sayings of the book. We've got to abide in the book and the book abide in us. And they're hearing these words. And they're so wrong. There's so much wrong in their lives and so much wrong in that church. But they're hearing the words and they're receiving the words of the Apostle Paul. Now something happened. Something happened. Something wonderful happened. Because if you look there at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And look there at verse 7. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 7. He's talking about how that Titus came and Titus brought the news, the good news of what the first letter had done. And he says, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. Something happened, you see. The words of the Lord were received. The sayings of the book were received by these people. They recognized the inspiration, no doubt, of the Lord in the words Paul had written. They recognized the authority of this apostle of the Lord. They received them as the words of the Lord. And they began to put things right. They began to put things right. Now, if you look, there's a word used here, and it's the word sorrow. Look at verse 8. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle or letter that hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. And then he says, now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. You see, there's two sorrows. There's a godly sorrow which leads to repentance. God's in it. God's in it. In other words, there was a recognizing in their hearts and minds that this epistle from Paul, this was the words of the Lord to us. This was the words of the Lord to us. And you know, in that church at that time, there were people who had no time for Paul. He was being discredited. He was being spoken of in a dismissive manner. That man of God, preacher of the word, was being dismissed. But now the Lord was working in their hearts and in their lives. Do you see what he says there in verse 7? Titus came to tell him about the consolation, and he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me. That was a change. Their minds were, some of them, set against Paul and set against the hearing of the word. And we're living in a day, you know, sadly, when there are professing Christians who don't see the importance of the expounding of the Bible week by week. The expounding of the Bible week by week. I was talking to a brother, Henry Middleton, who He labours in Mexico among the street children. And Henry was talking about he was asked to come to a school assembly and say a word in the assembly to the children. And he went, and the head mistress, I think she was, she said, "Now, here's what I want you to do. Read a verse and pray, that'll be it." And Henry sort of said, "Well, if that was all that you wanted me to do, could you no do that yourself? And you brought me the whole way up here to Ballymoney." But even, he said, amongst some of the places of worship he goes to, there is this has set in. These people were hearing God's words from the apostle, and their heart was changed. And though their hearts were against him somewhat now, they had this fervent mind toward him. Recognize him as a faithful minister of God's word and a faithful pastor who was looking for their souls and looking for the well-being of their souls. And remember this, brothers and sisters, Peter tells us we are to try the spirits. Whatever comes to us after a spiritual manner, we are to test it. We are to put it to the test. How do you do that? You bring it to the scriptures. You bring it to the word. Or if your knowledge of the scriptures perhaps isn't what it should be, you go to those that you know have a knowledge of the word. And you ask them. Now here's the proof. Here's the proof of the right way to hear God's words, as the words of the Lord put us right. This godly sorrow. You see, here's the difference between godly sorrow and the sorrow of this word. Those who sorrow after a godly sort are sorry for God's sake. Those who sorrow after the world are sorry for their own sake. Look at verse 11. This is tremendous. Here's the evidence of that true turning to the Lord and turning to Paul and turning to the Word in this church and in the lives of these Christians. "For behold this selfsame thing." Now there's a list here and we're going to quickly go down it. "Behold this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort." Number one, what carefulness it wrought in you. What carefulness. You see, before they had been indifferent. Now they desired to have the evil corrected. Carefulness. Carefulness is the opposite of carelessness. And then he goes on, he says, "What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves." In other words, this an earnestness to apologize for their sin. An earnestness to apologize for their sin. You know, we have witnessed something terrible. I don't want to say much about it. I don't know much about it. Only what I've seen on the papers and in the news. An evangelical church in a town in this country torn apart. People posing for photographs of the two different